Hurkun oku trap sonsun trap sonsun trap sonsun trap donsun trap Tuni sonsun hukçum dur bulan Tadır stoltan dur bulan
Welcome to a brand new MMA Roasted podcast. It's me, Adam Hunter. Yes, we got two this week because I'm in Orange County. I'm doing a comedy show for, I think, women in rehab. They brought me in. I guess maybe they're going to see if I make them relapse after hearing my act or something. Yeah. That's it. They're like, I'm going back to drugs. So I'm in Orange County. So I'm like, I know Jake Ellenberger lives in Orange County. And, you know, you got two kids now.
Hey, baby, I'm here.
And I'm like, you know what? I'm in. You always come to me. I'm here with my man, Jake, the juggernaut Ellenberger, as well as jiu-jitsu. What degree black belt are you?
I don't know. I don't go back and get those degrees.
You really? You don't get stripes or anything, isn't it?
Yeah, I'm supposed to, but I never go back up there to get them. You know, Caesar Gracie black belt is good enough.
Gracie black belt, Jason Manley, a guy who has trained with the Diaz brothers. Yes, it just goes on and on. Who are some of the people you've trained with?
Oh, I've trained with everybody, but in terms of like who I came up training with, so I came up training with Caesar Gracie. So me and Nick and Jake Shields, Gilbert Melendez, Nate Diaz, David Terrell, and on and on and on.
So are you part of the scrap pack?
That's the crew. So yeah, I came up training with all those guys.
That's awesome.
I've trained with those guys since the 90s.
So. Wow. And then you've also had a couple fights yourself, right?
I have.
What's your record?
I'm undefeated at the moment.
Undefeated.
You know,
wow.
I haven't had any major tests to this point, but you know, we'll see.
Any fights in the future coming up?
Yeah, actually I'm probably going to fight sometime soon. So sometime this spring or early summer. Possibly in Venator, FC in Italy. So we're trying to see if we get an opponent over there.
Venator, yeah, isn't that where Mayhem missed weight by 27 pounds?
Yes, I believe it was. I think it was. I thought it was 29 pounds. And then, somewhere around there.
And then he took off his clothes and went back on the scale
just to see, just in case.
You know, shorts.
He had lead shorts.
The shorts
on
were going to do it. They had to subtract 20.
And then they had his fight, and Matt Horwich was in his corner. And he was reading the Bible during his fight. That was probably the worst cornerman I've ever seen in my life, or the best. But I want to thank our sponsor, Speedweed. Listen, people, marijuana is legal. So if you need marijuana delivered to you, there's only one place to go, Speedweed. They have everything from edibles, vapes. I know Jake's a huge pothead. CBD oil. They got the roll-on stuff. I'm telling you, whenever I work out once every year, I just put the CBD oil all over my body afterwards. It's great. So speedweed.com, and
nice.
You get $10 off any order of $100 as long as you mention Roasted. Also, if you're on Amazon and you order stuff from Amazon, which I know you guys do, I'm an Amazon partner. So go to adamhunter.com and click the banner through my website, and then I get paid. So yes, Amazon.com.
Nice.
Yes,
okay.
Yeah, that's the hustle.
Amazon all the time.
There you go. So go through my website. So Jake, man, I've been looking at your videos, looking at you on Instagram. You're looking good, man. Is this the best you felt in a long time?
It has. I feel great, man. I've been training for quite a while now. I went through the camp when Michael Bisping fought GSP. So I was training quite a bit with Mike and. Just kind of kept going from there, so it's been good. It's been over 3 or 4 months, but yeah.
Were you surprised the way that fight turned out?
Yeah, I mean, the big question was, how is GSP going to look when he returns? So I don't know. It could have been if it's the typical GSP we've seen, it could have been a very one sided fight. But I was surprised. Yeah.
Jason, were you training with Bisping for that also?
No, I didn't. Jake actually invited me in a couple of times, but we didn't end up connecting. But it was a good fight. It was a good fight. I thought GSP was going to wrestle him up more. So it was interesting. I thought GSP would win, but I thought he was going to try to wrestle him up.
I was like, Bisping's going to win. He's too big. He's coming in. This guy's fought in 4 years. It's a weight class above him. Yeah. How is he going to do? And then I was like humble pie. I was like, holy shit.
Yeah.
Even with Kelvin, right? You trained with Kelvin and Bisping.
Right, right.
Who did you have for that fight?
Well, I didn't like the idea of taking any that short notice of a fight. I thought it was going to be a great fight. It was going to be competitive for sure. But being that in those circumstances, I didn't like him taking that fight with Kelvin.
Yeah. that's tough turnaround. Kelvin's a monster. Kelvin's hungry.
He's tough as hell. He's got heart.
He brings. He's not scared of anybody. He's a tough fight for anybody. Any weight class, he's a tough fight for anybody. No doubt. So, yeah, I didn't like that short turnaround either.
So, no, by the way, I got to get back into jiu-jitsu. I weighed in the other day. I was like 170. I'm like, oh, this is great. And I went up, bought a bunch of ice cream, food, everything, celebrated. And then I went up 10 pounds in 2 days. And I'm not even cutting weight. I'm just like, fuck. Now, do you do gi or no gi?
You know, I came up training in the gi, but most of the guys that I train or train with me are guys that fight MMA or want to fight MMA, so we don't really put the gi on much. For my kids, I have my kids trained in the gi, but for all the adults and the fighters, we train mostly, almost 100%.
I just get so nervous because I was doing 10th Planet, and that's why I tore my ACL, because somebody put me in like a lockdown. I was on top, and he had this electric chair move, and I'm like, oh, I'm fine. Because, you know, as in wrestling background, you're always like, power through, toughen up. And then, of course, I tried to power through it. My leg just popped, and I had to get surgery. And then
you were on top, like in the guard?
Yeah.
So I'm trying to picture how that happened.
I was in the top bottom, and the guy was trying to sweep, and I was just kind of maintain my balance kind of a thing. Like, oh, I'm fine. And then just pop.
Not fine.
And then, not fine. Yeah. But I'm thinking about going back. What would you recommend? Gracie, would you recommend going?
Well, again, it all depends on your style. I think depending on what you're doing, whether you're in it for just sport jiu-jitsu or you're in it for MMA, I think it's about what your style is and finding guys that kind of suit that style. So, you know, depending on where you're at, there's different guys that
I was a high school wrestler and stuff. I just, my problem with 10th Planet was I was coming once a week and they'd be like showing this 10-point sweeps,
it's a different style. That's a different style for sure. Particularly if you have a wrestling background, you want to get on top. You want to play your top game. With that in mind, I would probably go to someone that's more top game oriented. That's going to play to your strengths.
Like,
you live too far. Well, I'm a little far. Like, I would say, like, if I'm in that area in LA and I want to work my grappling and I'm a top game guy, like I go like the Body Shop and Antonio McKee and those guys. I go out there a couple times a week and train all those guys. So, you know, Aaron Pico,
yeah, like Pico,
there, Joey Davis, a lot AJ there. McKee,
yeah.
Baby Slice, there's a whole posse.
Have you rolled with Pico?
Oh yeah, I just finished training with him right now.
How good is that kid?
Oh, he's a beast. He's a monster, and he's super humble, super dedicated, and he's always trying to learn. You know.
So like when you tap him, do you celebrate afterwards?
Nah.
I just point to him.
He taps everybody though.
Who Manly does?
Yeah.
Okay, so how many times you tap people this morning? How many times you tap him? Pico.
Pico specifically. You know. I don't know. You know.
Yeah. All right, hear that, Pico? Manly said.
No. I'll say how many times I tapped out people this morning in general, and I would say it's a lot. But
does anybody tap you?
Well, no, but
not usually.
But again, I'm training, and I'm training with mostly MMA guys, so their approach to grappling with me is going to be very different. Now, if I go and I'm training with Nick, or I'm training with Nate, or I'm training with Terrell or Shields or some of those MMA but jiu-jitsu based guys, now it's a concern. I got to worry about the attack and the counterattack and so forth. But those guys' strategy grappling with me is going to be very different.
Now, when you go against a guy like Pico, do you go 100%, or are you just kind of toying with them? Or?
No. It depends on the day and what we're going on. So if it's a day and we're going hard. We're going hard. You know what I mean? I'm a little bit bigger. I got a little bit more size, like on somebody like Pico, but he's a beast. We're going hard. We're going hard for sure. But yeah, no, we're going probably as close to 100% as you can get, you know?
Wow,
but
not,
you know, cranking stuff and ripping stuff off, but we're going hard. We don't go like, I don't believe in that like, you know, flow with the go type philosophy.
Yeah, exactly.
But we're going hard.
Now, yesterday Tyron Woodley announced that he's close to fighting Nate Diaz.
Who cares?
Well, come on, he's the champion. You got to respect the man.
Okay. Well, you said Nate Diaz. Now I'm interested.
Okay, so he said, because now who do you think wins that fight?
Well, I don't know. It's Nate. It's tough for Nate at 170. I feel like certain style, certain guys. I mean, you know, Tyron's a wrestler. He's going to be hard to get him to the ground. Like you saw the Damian fight, you know, it's gonna be a challenge. But
and Tyron hits harder. Nate probably has better boxing as far as
endurance, you know,
better grappling.
Yeah, but I don't know. That's a tough fight.
But should Nate even get that fight? I mean, Nate's last fight was against Conor McGregor, which was 3-4 years ago. He's not ranked at 170.
Not that long ago.
But. 2 years ago. He's not really ranked at 170. Is he ranked at 170?
I don't know.
Why are we just... I mean, isn't that kind of the thing that's sort of what's wrong with MMA at this point, where now we're just all of a sudden making these super fights, and shouldn't it be the number two guy? Whether it's Wonderboy or Colby Covington.
It's business. This is business. It's sports entertainment, but it's business. And I don't think the question is, should Nate get that fight? I think the question is, should Tyron get that fight?
Yeah, but the Lakers sell more tickets than the Raptors. But if the Raptors are in the finals, we don't just all of a sudden say, well, it's a business, and the Lakers get to go to the finals.
No, but the Lakers are still making more money than the Raptors. And the Raptors want to play the Lakers, right? They want to make money, right?
Yeah, but they deserve the title shot. I mean, I don't...
They don't care about that title. They could care less about that title. It's about the money.
Tyron cares about Tyler.
But he wants to fight Nate because he cares about the money.
But don't you think he also thinks it's an easier fight than, let's say, Colby Covington?
I think it's a money making fight for him. I think it's a money making because I think he smashes Colby Covington. And I don't think, just for the record, I don't think the Nate and Tyron fight is happening or close to happening. Like, the fight that makes sense for Nate is the same fight that makes sense for Conor. That's the fight that I think that they're
Conor Nate three. Next.
I think Nick and Tyron has a very good chance of happening, but I don't think Nate and Tyron are going to happen. I think it's going
to
be Nate and
I'd love to see Nick fight
and Conor.
Why don't we just do? Why don't we have Usman and Tyron against the Diaz brothers? And we'll just have a black versus. I mean, at that point, that's a good business thing, right? Yeah. You wouldn't pay to see that.
No, that's a good.
I'd watch
good
it.
One. I mean, Jake still thinks that GSP beats Brock Lesnar in a fight. He honestly thinks this
easily.
Seriously.
Easily.
Like a WWE?
No, like an actual fight. No, he thinks GSP actually beats Brock Lesnar.
Maybe with no time limit. Because I could see how Brock might not be able to beat GSP. Like, he could take him. Well, like I'm saying, he could take him down and punch him up, but I don't think that he would finish him, despite the size difference, because it's not as, you know.
You don't think of a guy who finished Frank Mir couldn't finish GSP?
That Frank is gas, and it's different. There's different mentality. But Frank Mir is a beast, yeah. But Frank finished him also, too. Not that I think GSP is going to finish Lesnar.
Right.
I mean, I could see a scenario where, no, I don't think GSP is beating Brock in a three-round fight. I don't think that's happening. But I can see GSP going the distance, absolutely, for sure.
Okay.
You know, and all if right, no
I can see why you guys train
maybe,
together.
You know?
you guys must share the same drugs. Now, Jake. So your last fight is against Mike. Obviously, that Perry. After that fight, did you think of? Were people telling you, your parents saying, "Hey, man, maybe you had a great career. You're a guy who knocked out Jake Shields in 7 seconds. You knocked out Pele in -12 seconds. Yeah. You gotten so far. Were they pressuring you?
No. The family is really the only ones that really were like supportive. You know, hey, let's take a step back and let's reevaluate. But it's more of those. The internet fucking.
Do you read those comments of people saying?
No, I don't typically read much of the internet, but it didn't really that doesn't affect me with people.
So there was no moment you said, you know what, maybe it's time to become a professional gambler or whatever else you do, you know, open up a farm in Omaha or none of that?
Yeah. No, anytime, especially like right when a fight happens, is not the time to make decisions because there's so many emotions. It's like at least let a week pass. And that's why I think people should not be allowed to fucking tweet anywhere within a week. Of
I know some people are tweeting like while they're walking back to the locker room.
And you gotta get look at a guy like Colby Covington. It's like the reality is nobody cares about him. He's so fucking boring. He has to become relevant.
But he's locked into this Trump supporter. He locked into this demographic
attach himself to whatever
of people.
He wants to.
But now he's starting to get a little bit of, I mean, people do like him. If Colby Covington, I'm friends with Colby Covington.
Uh-huh.
I don't support his calling people from
animals,
filthy animals. I can never get behind that. That's
for sure.
But if he would have just done the other shit, Even, you know, calling Tyron Tyquil, you know, having him do WWE wrestling or whatever against a fake Tyron Woodley. Yeah. I mean, that's just kind of funny. Like,
for sure, yeah.
But then when you start getting into, you know, being a bigot and a nationalist or whatever you want to call it, then I can't get behind that.
Yeah. I'm not. I think a lot of people have tried to borrow from the Chael model, but, you know, Chael did it with class. Chael didn't do it to the point where...
And he's funny.
He's so funny, you got it. Yeah, you got to be yourself. Yeah, you got to sell the fight. You got to be. You got to have personality. You got to have character. But yeah, there's boundaries. You know, there's boundaries. And maybe for some people there aren't. Maybe that's, you know him. I don't know him. Maybe that's who he really is. Like, okay.
I don't think so. I mean, his best friend's Masvidal. Who's Masvidal's from.
I think it's Cuba.
Cuban, right? Yeah. I mean, you know, a Latin country. I don't think he doesn't seem to be that kind of guy off.
Yeah. Yeah.
But, you know, that being said, I can't get behind that. But forget about Colby. You, all right? So
what about me?
So after the Perry fight, you're like, fuck it, I'm not quitting. You go back to the gym. Now, how are you doing against these young bucks? Are you taking it to them?
Well, I mean, initially you got to take a little time away. I mean, I've literally, like, you know what I mean? He caught me. I've never been knocked out in training or a fight ever. So this was new to me. But you got to take a step back and kind of reflect. But so, you know, taking a little bit of time off. But yeah, I'm always training. I'm always active. So it was nice to kind of get take a step back from the MMA scene. But yeah, I mean, it's like I said. I've been in a good routine like the last probably 4 months training, so it's been great. I feel better right now, literally, than I have in a long time, in years.
And it seems like you're back over at Kings, or where are you training now? Benny.
Yeah, I've been training with Benny. He's in Anaheim. He has a gym in Anaheim. Also, I've been training at Ruka too. So. But yeah, I mean, training's been good. I've been training with Sam Calavita too, and he's in Yorba Linda, but the training lab.
Because I know for one point you were like with Coach Edmund, that was the worst. I mean, nothing was worse than head movement guy. So that was.
He gets a lot of flack, but Edmund is. I've watched Edmund work. Edmund is he's a legit coach. He puts time into his guys.
In what sport?
No, it's in all seriousness. Aside from MMA,
right?
Who else in MMA has legitimate boxers that are winning titles in boxing? Like, he has legit guys that he's brought up that have won.
No, he's a good boxing coach.
World titles.
Yeah, he's a good
world titles.
Yeah.
So,
but also sometimes boxing world titles are a little, like he said, he won a world title. I think I won a world title. It just seems like a lot of times these world titles are a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, I've been to a lot of gyms. I've trained with everybody, and I've seen gyms where great fighters are coming out of that gym, and coaches are getting a lot of props for those fighters being produced. And the coaches getting props for it aren't even the guys producing the talent.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
So you get a lot of guys, I think, that get a lot of respect that's undeserved. And you get a lot of coaches too that get a lot of disrespect that's undeserved. And I think maybe, you know, Edmund's had some run-ins with different people in the sport or whatever, or people don't like him for whatever reason. But I would legitimately go and train striking with him.
Yes.
Now, that being said, it's very different. A lot of people have come in there to train with him, you know, like, oh, I want to go train because he's got Ronda and he's got other guys that were coming out of there. But it's very different because Edmund was Ronda's coach. So you have people that come to GFC and train with GFC, train at GFC and represent GFC that are not being coached by Edmund. Right, so a lot of the people that come in there and train and represent the gym are not necessarily coached by him.
Right,
and some of the people that didn't do so well,
then all of a sudden it's on Coach
attributed Edmund. To him, but he knows what he's talking about. Like, he knows striking. Like, if anybody fighter goes in there and trains with him, he knows what he's
but
doing.
But it just seemed like in Jake's situation, he was trying to like break down Jake and start him up from the bottom, and then at a point where the guys got 27 UFC wins.
Yeah, it's common in the sport. That's half the problem with a lot of jiu-jitsu coaches. Like, you have somebody that comes in, and you're like, oh, all right, you're a striker. You need to learn jiu-jitsu. Like, all right, let's put you in the gi and teach you how to shrimp. And I'm like, we don't need to start there. Like, you know what I mean? Let's start with stuff that's going to give me an immediate impact right now. So, yeah, I get that. I don't know if that's what he was doing or not. But the other thing is, too, you know, a lot of it, too, is, you know, if Jake comes into – if I have a gym and I've got a group of guys and I'm a great coach, right, and Brock Lesnar comes into my gym, well, I could be a great coach and I could have a great technique and a great system, but I don't necessarily have a great system for Brock Lesnar. I don't have guys his size. I don't have the ability to put him through.
I feel like that's kind of what happened with Ngannou, his last fight, where like Ngannou was like, well, I didn't expect Stipe to wrestle. I'm like,
well, how did you not? What? How did you not?
Yeah, number one, but also what guys at that gym are Stipe's size? Like, you have, like, it seemed like he was the only, he was like a giant in that Extreme Couture, wherever he was, where you need a guy, like, you need to bring in the Ben Rothwells or the, you know, the huge guys to kind of mimic what Stipe is going to do. Yeah. But like you said, a lot of times also as a coach, I know, even I coach middle school wrestling, but we have this kid from Chechnya, right, who's awesome, but he does a lot of Greco-Roman stuff. He learns Sambo and Greco-Roman. He's in the finals. He's down 2-1. My other coaches are yelling, maybe we should cut him, let him up. I go, guys, don't say a word. Let him do whatever, because he's going to do something that I don't know what he's going to do, but he's going to do something for him. Yeah. And he picks the kid up, slams him on his head, and wins, right? But sometimes, like, as a coach, you have to know what not to tell people.
100%.
And a lot of coaches, I feel like, don't, whether it's ego or that, or just you think you know better.
100%.
And it's hard to shut up. It's almost like
even to add to Jason's point too. It's so much of in MMA is kind of up for interpretation as far as everybody responds differently to different things. So it's kind of like as a coach they got to see that and understand that, because we all three of us could go train with somebody and we could all three get different results, or he could see three completely different things. So it's like understanding. I mean, the first part is understanding yourself, like how I learn, how I, you know, how I respond, that kind of thing. So it's, I could never, especially in my, you know, me particularly in my career, I could never point the finger at somebody and be like, oh, this guy.
Because you're a nice guy, though. You know? But I'm pointing fingers and feet and fucking.
I mean, at the end of the day, though, it's like,
it's you.
I'm getting in there. You know what I mean? Like.
Yeah.
Maybe I didn't see something I should have, or I didn't prepare the right way. You know, it's.
But it just seems like now you seem to be in a really good place, and this is just me.
Sure.
Making this up from watching your Instagram, but I've been talking to some of your partners, and they're like, I'm like, Benny, how's Jake doing? Dude, Jake looks amazing. Some of your other people, how's Jake?
Yeah.
Dude, Jake looks incredible. And I still think with the Mike Perry fight, you that first round.
Yeah.
I mean, you won every second of that round. And then I thought, I'm like, oh, fuck, he's in trouble, when you started smiling at him. Because you had that smile, like, I got this.
I haven't seen it.
You had this smile going back to your corner, like, oh, this is fucking easy. And that's when sometimes people are in trouble. It's as a comic, I go, oh, I'm going to kill this crowd. It's over. Like, result-oriented. I'm thinking about the result. Now it's about winning. It's not about doing what I have to do to win.
Sure, sure.
You didn't have that feeling at all in the first round?
No, I mean, I haven't seen the fight. I haven't watched it. I don't know. I couldn't even tell you. I certainly don't look past anybody, but you know what it is? He's such a cocksucker, too, because, listen, at the end of the day, like, you caught me, okay. You know what I mean? I shook his hand. I'm a fucking man. Like, it is what it is. And then it's like, he starts going to talk about, like, me and my career. And he should, like, dude, you don't know me.
Right, like, immediately after the fight?
In
the post-fight interview?
Yeah.
He's tweeting shit, telling shit to fucking Ariel Helwani. And I'm like, dude, you're
going to see him again.
Yeah, I mean.
Well, hopefully.
I've fought better guys. And he's, you know, it's like, come on, bro. Like, you're gonna be a scumbag move, but.
Who do you think is the best guy you fought?
The best guy?
Was it Robbie?
He's probably the toughest guy. Thompson's pretty good. I mean, there's a few guys you could throw up there. I think Masvidal's good too. You know, I respect.
Yeah, you got your foot stuck in the cage in that one.
Yeah,
that was some bullshit right there, man.
For sure.
What the hell was that?
I was like, what is this fucking Three Stooges fight? Like, what's going on right now?
We can't do anything about that.
That was the weirdest fight ever. Now you train with Rafael Dos Anjos. Were you surprised at the Robbie Dos Anjos fight?
I wasn't really surprised at the result, but actually how one-sided it was, I kind of was. I was like, wow. You know, him at 170, he doesn't got to cut as much weight. He can kind of enjoy life a little more, but he's got a hell of a work ethic, and that kind of is always that's kind of always separated him from a lot of people. But I was surprised, and it's one of those things. You look at Robbie and you're like, is he off? Is he having a bad night, or is Dos Anjos that good? So there's a lot. It brings up a lot of questions.
How do you think him and Woodley do?
That's a good fight. It's a good fight. That's I think here's the thing. Woodley has leverage because he can control where this fight goes. He can take him down, and he can defend. So I would give some of the technical advantage probably to RDA, but like I said, controlling where this fight goes.
Now, Woodley said he came to practice to you and threw you on your head, and then you quit. Is there any truth to that?
With me? I was actually there.
You were there. What happened?
Yeah, he threw it. No, I'm just kidding. No, I don't recall that happening. That was
Woodley? Remember on the podcast, he was like, I threw you, remember you guys had that press conference?
Oh, yeah, I do remember that. You instigated that. That was nice. I do remember training with him one time in Canada. We were actually at an event. He was still in Strikeforce, but we had a good workout. So that's the only workout that I remember with
him. You guys came and trained and when I had my place up in Seal Beach.
Was it the affliction?
He first came and started training with me back in the day. Yeah. And he came through.
Okay.
So what happened?
Yep.
I mean, that didn't happen. They
certainly. Yeah.
So Ellenberger 10-7'd him?
I didn't see anybody. Yeah. No, nobody got the better. Woody's the homie too.
It's funny.
Nobody got the better.
Yeah, no. If, you know what's funny? I've known him for a long time. Like, he was at the national tournament when my brother was wrestling NCAAs, and I've known him a long time. You know, he's always been a
he's a real nice guy.
I can't say nothing, but you know what I mean. We're in business.
We're doing comedy together Friday night, by the way.
Are you?
Yeah, me and Woodley.
Woodley?
Yeah,
Woodley, he's doing comedy.
He's doing stand up comedy. He's pretty good. I swear to God, I didn't know what to expect, and I was like, hey, well, I'm gonna help you with jokes. He's like, no, thank you. He was singing on stage, doing impressions, telling stories. I'm like, fuck, this is actually, like, he goes to acting class once a week. Okay. Like, he's actually, like, legitimately could be a really good comic. I mean, especially for the first time. I was also basing it on, this is his first time.
Yeah.
I wasn't basing it on, like, is this, you know, Richard Pryor's closer? You know, like, but for a first time, he was excellent. And and he was humble. Like, he's like,
a humble dude. Yeah,
I think he just doesn't come across well in interviews. Like, I just think that he's not when he talks, like, people are like, oh, I hate him. Like, why do you hate him? Like, what exactly does this guy do?
I love Willie, but yeah, I think I understand what he's doing. I think maybe he voices his complaints, you know, a little too much, a little too often.
And on Twitter and the wrong mediums and, like, yeah, yada, yada.
Yeah, maybe. And, you know, like, yeah, some of the stuff he's talking about, I think probably there is something there. But it's like, that's the case for everybody. And what's complaining going to do? You know what I mean?
Right.
So sometimes I think it's better to just, like, suck it up.
So where did you grow up?
I grew up around here. So I went to high school in Diamond Bar. Then I moved up to Berkeley for school. That's where I started training with Caesar and the whole crew.
Back in college?
Yeah, back in college.
Oh, so you got a late start, kind of.
Oh, for training?
Yeah.
No, I started training before I moved there. So I trained down here. I got my blue belt from Hoist back in...
From Hoist Gracie?
Yeah, back in like 98, somewhere around there.
Wow.
Yeah, and then...
Were you... Now, how long did it take you to get a blue belt from him? Like a year, 2 years?
It was much, much faster than that.
Really?
Yeah, I hadn't been training that long, maybe like a few months, and I won. I went to the Gracie National and tapped out 11 people in my weight class in the open, tapped everybody out, won nationals, always gave me my blue belt.
What was your athletic background?
Track and field. I had a track scholarship to Berkeley, so I've been running track my whole life. I play a bunch of sports, but track, I got a...
That's amazing. So you beat everyone in the whole nation at a white belt.
Yeah.
He gives you a blue belt from Hoist Gracie.
Yep.
And then
you kind of have to, right?
I mean, what?
Just tapping everybody out. You kind of got to give him a promotion.
At least a blue belt, right? Does he call Caesar and say, Caesar, take this guy on?
I moved up there. Yeah, I moved up there for school. It's funny because the first day I went to Caesar, like, okay, I think I'm going to go train here. He had a bunch of beasts in the room. And the first day I went there, he... broke somebody's arm got broke. It's like, I don't know. Yeah. I came back like a few like, yeah, like, yeah, let's give it another try.
Wow.
And then I talked to Caesar, and he's like, yeah, come in, come train. Me and Shields actually joined like the same day. He had like a little fight team tryout, whatever. He's like, yeah, we want you guys, you know, we want you on the team.
Oh, dang, same day?
Come into practice the next day. I come in the next day. He's like, all right, train hard. You're fighting in 2 weeks. Like, all right.
To you or to
Caesar? Yeah, both of us.
Okay.
Me and Shields both fought that 2 weeks later on that.
Who do, an amateur or pro?
No, that was pro. They didn't have amateur back then.
So you just all of a sudden you fought until, who did you fight?
This was like 2000 maybe.
Who did you fight in 2 weeks?
Some random guy. I don't even know who he was. I just fought some dude. Caesar literally showed up. Me and Jake were there. We were there like the night before in the hotel, whatever. We get to the venue. Like, Caesar's not there or anything yet. We're like an hour out. Like, all right, we better start warming up. We start warming up. Like, they come call us like to walk out. Like, they call me first because Jake's fighting later. And, Caesar walks up like, all right, you guys ready to go? Like, yeah, we're walking out. It's like, all right, yeah, let's go.
I mean, do you know how to punch or kick or anything? Like,
yeah, we were doing a little bit of everything, but grappling was definitely my strong suit. So, yeah, I ended up tapping him out.
Now, did you make any money in this fight or no?
Yeah, I made some good money, and Caesar threw me some extra money on top. So, I was like, oh, this is kind of, I was just like, I think I was a freshman in college. So, I was like, oh, man, this Dang. Is cool. Maybe it was like $1,000 or something, like 800 bucks, whatever it was.
Yeah.
It's like, oh.
And right, what was your first encounter with the Diaz brothers?
It's funny because my first encounter with Nick, me and Nick competed against each other at a jiu-jitsu tournament. This was before I started training at Caesars. So I had moved up there and I had been training, but I didn't have a place to train up there yet. I had just moved up there and there was a tournament. I was like, I'm going to hop in this tournament. So I hop in the tournament, you know, beat a couple people. I end up in the final. And this is me and Nick.
Is Nick mean mugging you? Is he talking shit to you?
No, he's got the same, you know, his competition face on. You know, I got my competition face on. So I'm like getting my, like, you know, dynamic warm-up.
Was it marijuana stench?
Not at that moment.
Right, okay.
He had gotten into that. I don't know if he had gotten into that life yet.
You know? Right.
And we end up going. Nick ends up beating me like a guard pass. I think he beat me by like 3 points or something. And but he was cool. He was super cool. And then Caesar was there and ended up just like going up there to go train with them maybe a few weeks after that.
That's cool.
Yeah.
And now, did they immediately take you in? Were they cool to you? Was there a little bit of like, you're the new kid on the block?
Yeah, no. So at that time, Nate hadn't even started training yet. Gilbert wasn't even training yet. It was just... So Nick was in there, Steve Heath, who you guys might not have heard of, David Terrell, who was Caesar's first black belt.
He's the guy that knocked out Matt Lindland in like 7 seconds.
Yeah, fought for the UFC title. Gil Castillo, who was another one of our guys who also fought Matt Hughes for the UFC title.
Mm-hmm.
He was a big man. He was like the King of the Cage champ. There was a bunch of monsters in there, but it wasn't the crew that guys know now. It was Shields. Nick.
I mean, Jake had some wrestling background.
Oh yeah, Jake was fighting. Jake had been training with Chuck Liddell, and then he moved up. He had moved up.
So, were you in Jake's corner when Jake fought Ellenberger?
No, I wasn't. But it was funny because I had moved down here to Orange County, and me and Jake met. We had trained together, and we had started training together. So Jake was coming up like to Seal Beach when I had up there, and we were training together. This was before him and Shields had a fight booked.
I was getting fucked up.
Then they booked that fight, like, and we had to stop training. Like, oh yeah, you're fighting Shields. Like,
were you in the Mayhem Brawl with the scrap pack?
No, I wasn't in the Mayhem Brawl.
You were in the Mayhem Brawl.
Thank
now you have a reputation of banging lots of white Orange County girls.
Where is this coming from?
Now, this is
where is that?
This is what
from?
Everybody's telling about. Like, now, is there any truth to this?
This is absolutely not true.
Okay, all right.
In fact, yes, I'm actually a virgin. So
nice.
I'm
yeah,
engaged
yeah.
Engaged in sexual intercourse.
Now, do you own the gym? Is it your gym?
Yeah. So I'm actually in the process of moving that gym, but yeah, I own the Gracie Fighter gym here. But
Everyone says you open up a gym and you make no money. If you have pros, you have to have the general public come in. It's a whole, is it hard?
There's a couple ways to do it. So for me, when I have a gym, the purpose for me is not making money on the gym, because my number one thing with training is I want to train people that are serious and I want to make the best guys. But making the guys the best is kind of counterintuitive to making money. Like, if you want to make money in the gym,
sure,
you got to have a bunch of classes, you know, 45 minutes to an hour long. You train a bunch of kids. You train a bunch of beginners. Like, the money is in you know, white belts, blue belts, you know, like that's where you, that's where
kids, yeah,
the masses, and in the kids. And when you're trying to make people really good, you're not going to make somebody good by teaching them in a 45 minute or an hour long class. So I have my kids team, just guys that are serious, that I train for an hour and a half, 2 hours a day. Like, not conducive to making money. Same thing with fighters. Like, fighters come in and we're training for a couple hours at least, you know, a session.
Now, are you their all-around MMA coach? Are you the jiu-jitsu coach?
It's different for different guys. So some guys, yeah, all-around MMA coach. Some guys are just coming in just to work, you know, their jiu-jitsu offense, their jiu-jitsu defense, stopping the takedowns, countering. Like, it just depends.
Have you ever had a guy that, like, you trained from the bottom up, like in Rocky V, when Rocky took Tommy up and then Tommy left him? Because
not yet. Yeah, no. Not yet, but that will inevitably happen.
Because, right.
But I'm very guarded with that. So even like my gyms are like all private, you know? Like if you go into the gym in Laguna, it's like there's no sign on the door, there's no phone number, there's no nothing. Like if people, like when someone comes and shows up and we don't know they're in, they're like knocking on the door, everybody's looking like, what's up? Like, can I
help? Do you have your fighters sign contracts with you?
Some of them.
Who are some of the guys that you have right now? Any guys in the UFC? Any Bellator?
Yeah, so I train a bunch of Bellator. We got a bunch of Bellator guys. So I train, you know, all the body shop guys. So AJ McKee, who's a big Bellator guy. Joey Davis, Aaron Pico, Baby Slice, that whole posse. You know, I train with those guys regularly. I train those guys regularly. You know, a lot of UFC guys. So obviously, you know, when Nick and those guys are fighting, when they're coming back, I'm training with them. Jake Ellenberger comes in and trains. Uriah Hall, Rachel Cummins, who will be in.
Now they're saying Uriah is going to fight. What's his name? They announced it today. They were saying Ryan versus Borrachia. What's that guy's name? That
Brazilian.
Yeah, the Brazilian.
Yeah,
How's Uriah doing?
I worked out with him actually on Monday.
How's he doing?
He seems pretty good. We're at the Performance Institute on Monday. I worked out with him in the morning, and he looked good. He was running, he was training.
Now, what happened with the whole weight cut and all that?
He just
I don't know, to be honest. Yeah, I just know he had a.
He didn't take care of business. Like, you know, he knows. He didn't take care of business. He kind of shortcutted it and, you know, probably should have cut the weight a little bit sooner. But, yeah. You know, that it happens. It happens, dude, when you're cutting that much weight. But he was ready to fight. I mean, you know.
Yeah, they're saying Uriah Hall versus Paulo Barrachina in the works for Fight Night Atlantic City.
Yeah.
What's the date? Do you know?
The AC one, which I think, I'm not sure. I think it's
April?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
I mean, what do you guys think about that matchup? I think Uriah Hall, healthy, can take out anybody.
Uriah can beat anybody.
For sure.
You know, that's why the reason Uriah performed so well when he was in the house is because Uriah is very good, got tremendous talent, but also there was no opportunity for distraction.
Sure.
If Uriah is focused, 100%. He's not distracted.
Is it women?
I mean, it's a little bit everything. You know, obviously women is always a good thing.
But he's a good-looking guy. He's a big, huge black dude. I could see him. Orange County girls all of a sudden. You know, like,
distractions everywhere.
Distractions.
So
everywhere.
Uriah's focused, like, Uriah's a beast. And I'm talking about all around. People don't realize this jiu-jitsu is really good. It's better than I think anybody realizes.
Mm-hmm.
So when he's on point and he's focused and he's motivated... You know, that's why I think why Dana loves him so much, because he sees that. He sees the potential. Like, Uriah could be the champion at 185 right now. Right now.
Yeah.
I think if from the time he got out of the house until right now, if he was focused and on top of everything and just dedicated his life to being champion, he would be the champ right now.
But like Dana said, he was at the nightclub 3 days before. Were you with him at the club?
I actually was with him at the club, but that was like 6 nights.
Oh,
but
no. So I mean, you're with the club. Aren't you saying, "Hey, Uriah, no, man"? Like,
look, you can't. No, that's it's not accurate in that. Okay, you got a guy that could go out to a club until 11 o'clock at night.
Was he wearing a rubber suit in the club?
Or no. Who doesn't drink? Who doesn't smoke? Who doesn't do any of that?
Yeah,
and then goes home and goes to bed. And then you got a guy that could hang out at home and, you know, be doing all types of unhealthy things, drinking, smoking, stand up till 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. Like, you can't just say the, you know, you can't just blanket
like it's what, not, yeah, like what Adam,
oh, he was out at the club, you know, like,
yeah,
come on, like,
yeah, masturbating to
like, so, and Uriah's one of those
dancing bear.
It's good sometimes when he goes out because he's one of those guys that if he stays home,
he thinks too much.
Well, he'll stay up late and it's like, well, you need to sleep. So a lot of times he'll go out to a dinner or he'll go out, you know, even to a club or a lounge. He's not partying, he's not drinking, he's just hanging out with friends. And then he'll go home at 11 o'clock and go right to sleep. So I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I think that's not the issue for him. I think the issue is just being focused, being committed to training, you know, year round and really honing in on being the champ, not just being a star and being a great fighter, but being champ.
Yeah, because he's got unlimited potential.
He absolutely could be the champion right now.
Now, Jake, what's your day like? I know you have the kids.
What's a normal day?
Yeah,
for
like, does the wife work?
She does. She.
Where does she dance at? No, I'm kidding. I'm just kidding. But she is not very hot. So, where does your wife work?
She worked at a dental office, so. It's a different dynamic too. We have two kids now, so she was working part time with one, and now with two, it's different. Now she's at home because I train twice at least every day, so it's a busy day. It's good to be, you know, have some free time, flexibility to come home and see the boys.
And the money's okay. You got like, cause I know you buying stock options
I'm
or you
rich.
Got yeah you're rich
all
right. Is I mean everything okay?
Yeah, things are good.
Good. I worry about you because like I remember he lost a fight and for 5 days he was in some casino in Omaha, for 19 hours a day.
Doing what?
Wow. I don't know who told him that. That's not true.
Money.
19 hours. Bro.
What? Right? Am I right?
No.
Oh,
in a casino?
You weren't doing a casino in Omaha after one of your fights?
I may have visited one like.
Five
for
in the morning.
Hours or something.
I was calling you. I'm like, Jake.
You were?
Yeah, you were like with grandmas and like sad Native Americans. I mean, the ones that were there were sad. Not all of them. But it would just seem like, and then there's Jake Ellenberger. Like, there's the guy from the TV.
This guy
and
from
like,
the TV.
No, gambling is dumb. Listen, I'll bet fights, but I don't play casino.
So you're done gambling?
Yo, I haven't gambled in a long. Yeah, I can't even tell you last time I gambled, but
that's great.
You play a few dollars here and there, but. Yeah, fights is what I bet on. So
okay,
yeah.
Did
you bet on guys you train with? Like, do you like injure their leg and then bet against them or something? Or?
No, man.
Inside information.
Yeah, just. Here. I mean, I bet. People I have a confidence in. But
don't you feel bad though? Because sometimes I'll bet. I was betting against like my guys I had on the podcast sometimes. And then if they won, I felt bad.
Business.
And then if they lost, they five. Really.
Business is business. hey, look, if you're training with somebody, I had a fight recently. I had one of my guys fight recently. I'm not going to say who, but I had, you know, and I'm friends with both guys. One of them trains with me, and one of them wanted to fight the other one. And I knew that it was a tremendous mistake that one of these people wanted to fight the other one. And I knew it was going to be absolute destruction. I have no shame in betting on that fight whatsoever.
But these are two guys that you train both of them?
I don't train. I had trained with both of them.
Okay,
one of them trained with me regularly, and I knew that this was not going to be a competitive fight.
The one that you trained with, you thought was going to lose?
No, I thought he was going to.
He was going to win. Yeah.
He did, and you know, I picked up those dollars. There's no shame in that.
The other thing you got to understand, Adam, is betting. There's no, you got to take the emotion. There's no emotion, absolutely no emotion involved in betting. And you got to understand, whoever you bet on affects the outcome. None whatsoever. So it'd be like if you like let's say Jason and I were fighting, and you're like, I'm gonna bet on Jason. Like let's say he was a big underdog. It's like, okay, well, the value would be.
I know, but then let's say I bet on Jason and you win, and then I hang out with you the next day. I feel bad, even in your win, that like I kind of picked against you, and then I have to. I'm like, because then I'm like, oh, congrats on the win. I I'm so happy for you. Meanwhile, I'm not happy because I lost money. And then also, I feel like a dick that like, I don't know. It's bad.
You're thinking too much into it, man.
So the fight this week, this week, Saturday night. This whole event is strange. There's like nobody fights I really want to look forward to. Yeah, it's just. But there's a couple of good ones. Yoel Romero, Luke Rockhold.
Yeah, I like that fight.
I like that fight too.
I got Luke. I think that Yoel has got to be 87 years old at this point. I mean, But
didn't he just test positive for something, banned or?
When did he not test? But look at that guy. He's like a walking USADA fucking poster.
Trust me, the eyes. I mean, the eye test. Yeah, he does not pass. But what I'm saying, I thought recently he might have.
I think he did, but he somehow like
that was like maybe like
or a while ago.
That was like a couple years ago.
Okay,
and he flagged, but then.
It was a Cuban flag.
Yeah. He got flagged for something. Tainted supplement. I don't know if it was a tainted supplement, but it didn't stick, whatever it was.
Yeah.
But, okay. Now, I would, if he didn't gas all the time, I would put money on him for sure. It's like.
If it was a one round fight, you'd
put money. How did they not fix that problem? Like, he beast on everybody early on, and then it's like, bro, you fade. Like, that has to be your training.
I know.
You have to just not be training at that intensity.
Yeah,
in the room, if you're going into every single fight, you're gassing.
What do you mean, like by training that intensity?
Because
like,
if you fight at that pace, you need to whatever pace you fight at, especially if it's a high pace, you need to be training at like well above that pace.
Yeah.
Otherwise, when the adrenaline hits and all that, and you fight, like, bro, you're gonna be done.
So you would have him go like 8 rounds full speed or something?
No. What I would do is most people. In my opinion, most people, when they're in training and you know you're going for 5 rounds or however many rounds you're doing, most people pace themselves for those rounds, which you can't do that. You can't do that. So especially if you don't fight, if you fight at a higher pace than what you're training at, it's like you got to exhaust yourself early on in practice so that you can learn to start dealing with that in training and overcome it so that when you fight, you don't look like that when you fight.
And you've had guys that you've trained that have had this problem before?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And it's an easy fix. It's an easy fix. Like,
it's
not an easy fix because it takes work. Like, it sucks when you train like that, but it's going to make you
Were you Bubba Jenkins' trainer for a while?
Bubba trained with me for a while, too. Yeah, yeah.
Bubba was a really good friend of mine, Bubba's but awesome. There's a guy that sometimes that I think gets in his own way because he's so talented.
Yeah. He's super talented. Super talented. I think a lot of it, too, is I think. When you're a high-level wrestler, I think people pull you in a lot of different directions in terms of what you should be doing.
Sure.
I think most people, if you're a great wrestler, they say, okay, you're a great wrestler. Now you got to get your boxing on point, which I don't necessarily disagree with, but I feel like it's not the right move, not just because I'm a grappler and a jiu-jitsu guy, but I feel like if you're the best wrestler in the world, right, well, you're already a great grappler. You can become an amazing out of this world grappler if you just add a couple of details that one will keep you from being susceptible to being submitted when you hit the ground, right? And will allow you to expand on your grappling, pass guard, tap people out, that sort of thing. And it's not something that's going to take you a long time to get to. But I think most people they abandon that and they say, oh no. You know, I got that covered. I'm just
gonna like get that box is checked.
Yeah, I'm gonna go train striking. Handle. And what happens is they go away from grappling, and they think like, 100%. Oh, because I wrestled at this level, like nobody's gonna be able to take me down, right, and nobody's gonna be able to submit me. And a lot of them find out like, yeah, that ain't true.
I see it all the time. I mean, I mean, you saw Cormier get taken down by Jon Jones, you see, I mean, wrestling levels. One guy. I think competed at a junior college level, and one guy competed at an Olympic level. Yeah. But I see it all. There's nothing sadder to me when a college level wrestler gets taken down by like a jiu-jitsu guy or something, and you're like, fuck. But you see it all the time.
Oh, yeah. You see a great wrestler go and take somebody down, and then they get tapped out. It's like.
With Bubba, I feel like he puts himself in those. He puts his head out there, his arm out there.
You know, Bubba trained with me when he fought the Yamaguchi, somebody, the Bellator guy that just fought Chandler.
Yeah, just fought Chandler.
And he shut him down. Bubba shut his ass down. Like Bubba's got game for sure. But I think it's more difficult to find good training than people realize. It's very difficult, especially when you're already a high level dude, because. Either people give you too much respect and they don't go at you hard enough, or there's not guys that can expose you in the areas that you need to be exposed in. So it's difficult. Or there's people that don't even know the areas that you need to be exposed in, you know? So
yeah, you're taking on everyone in practice. Everyone just thinks that you...
It's not good to be the man in practice. Like,
for sure.
It feels good, but you're not... If you're crushing everybody where you're training at, you're not training.
You're training the wrong place. Yeah, exactly.
So how do you think Mackenzie Dern's going to... Is she going to run into similar problems, you think?
You know, I watched her. I think she's got great jiu-jitsu. But yeah, I think she's gonna run into problems. I think
who's she fighting? She's fighting Ashley Yoder.
Okay.
I think she'll be fine there, but I think that there's a huge difference between sport jiu-jitsu and MMA jiu-jitsu, and I think that you'll see
same thing with wrestling.
What are some of the differences?
Well, one, wrestling with strikes, doing jiu-jitsu with strikes, grappling with strikes is different than just grappling, you know, obviously in the gi or even just grappling no gi without punches. I think the intensity level is much different. I think that another huge thing people don't realize is grappling with somebody that's trying to engage you in grappling versus grappling with somebody that's trying to disengage you is a whole nother ball game.
That's the one right? thing. I mean, nothing to knock. I'm trying to knock the 10th Planet guys because obviously they're doing some amazing things. But when I watch the EBI and these guys start off in butt scooting and then it becomes kind of a leg lock competition, and I go, if this was a fight, I don't think the guy that pulls guard off to is going to do very well. I mean, maybe once in a while you'll get like a Ben Saunders or somebody that's amazing from that situation, but it just seems like starting on a butt on your butt in a fight is a bad idea.
It's funny you mentioned that because I had a friend of mine. He actually is a 10th Planet guy who I was talking to this morning, and he came in to train. He got into a fight this weekend, and
tell it.
He slipped, or something happened. He ended up on the bottom. He ended up on the ground. And I think he realized that it's a different game in the street.
Yeah.
And he admittedly said that he took some significant damage on the bottom in a fight. Like, yeah, that's not my go-to.
Yeah.
Street fighting ain't my go-to. Especially if you got multiple people. It's like, you know, you got four or five people fighting. But
in the octagon, would you recommend pulling guard?
Here's the thing. No, I would not recommend pulling guard. But at the same time, there's a hell of a lot of people who, hell yeah, pull guard. Like, Rachel Cummins is one of my students. She'll jump guard and rip your arm off in a heartbeat. Like, Aoki will jump guard and rip your arm off. Yeah. Frank Mir can go on bottom and rip your leg off. Like, there's a handful of people in the sport that have the level of grappling to where it does not matter if they're on top or bottom.
Like Ryan Hall?
Yeah. Yeah, like Ryan Hall. Ryan Hall plays almost exclusively on the bottom. He'll go and he'll play 50-50, and guys don't understand that game. Mm-hmm. Like a Husamal Polaris, like,
yeah,
he'll go wherever he wants to go. So when you get to that's to me, that is the level that you want to take your grappling. For MMA, you want to be able to take people down whenever you want to, and you want to be able to go on bottom whenever you want to and tap people out from any position. Obviously, you want to be on top, but you want to be able to not need to get on top. You know, because if you're like a Frank Mir, like Frank Mir or Aoki or Polaris, like those guys can take you down and tap you out. Or, okay, he's fighting Brock Lesnar. Cool. I can go on bottom and tap you out, too. Right. That's where you're. If you are a complete grappler, you should be able to do all of those things.
Jake, do you know any submissions?
What's that?
Do you know any submissions?
I know a couple.
Have you ever won a fight by submission?
Yeah, he choked Koscheck to death.
Oh, yeah, that was the best.
Foaming at the mouth.
He's still drooling from that fight.
Yeah, you know, actually, Adam, you might not know this, but I was up to a brown belt.
Nice.
Game. Yeah.
Under who?
Rodrigo, Team Vahi.
Wow.
He is a Hickson.
But you just love knocking fuckers out?
Well, yeah. I mean, for your short answer, yes. But there's so many when you go from the gi to no gi into MMA. There's a lot of stuff moving there. But I mean, yeah, I do have submissions that I favor maybe more than others. But there's just positions that I see, you know, that I catch myself in a lot more, and chokes, front headlock, that kind of thing. So
got it.
Yeah, you know, I got a submission or two, one or two.
Nice.
Yeah.
Good work, man. Congratulations. So this week, Curtis Blaydes versus Mark Hunt. Obviously, Blaydes 8-1. Young, his only loss is to Ngannou. Great college wrestler. I think he was like a D2 national champion.
Where's
or something. Well, I know he trains out of Colorado. He trains out of, and then Mark Hunt, who says he wants three more fights on his contract and he wants to leave and go to Ryzen. I think Hunt is, what does he have to prove at this point? I mean, the guy's taken so much damage.
Nothing. He's just picking up checks.
He's just making it. Is he going to work at Starbucks, Adam?
But, I mean, who do you think's going to win this fight?
I don't know. I mean,
the history would tell us that the younger guy should win, but he's a guy you can't count him out. I mean, he's how do you hurt the guy? He's hard to hurt, but he's always in it. It's I don't know. I'm going to go with the younger guy simply on that alone.
Absolutely. Yeah, Hunt's a beast, man. It is very difficult to get him out of there.
So. I saw Miracle Kokop high kick him directly in the head, and he didn't even blink.
When was that?
Size of that head.
In Pride.
You were there?
No. I was watching, and I was like,
yeah.
Whoa.
Now, next week, Bellator from Connecticut. It's Roy Nelson versus Mitrione. The heavyweight championship.
Did you watch the Chael Rampage by?
Yeah.
Patrick? Yeah, what'd you think?
I thought Chael won. I thought that Rampage is like a. At this point, I mean, what are we doing here? Like,
picking up checks?
I know picking up checks, but I mean, how much money does this guy need? How much child support is he paying? He has.
Look at it this way. If you could walk into an arena for 15 minutes.
But he gasped while walking into the arena. Like.
If you can walk into an arena for 15 minutes and pick up, you know, seven-figure check.
Yeah.
Okay, fine.
You're going to walk in there. But as long as they let you walk in there.
Right, yes. Yes, I know. But it does seem like, look, I mean, if I'm inebriated or if I don't do comedy for 3 years and I'm just, and all of a sudden, like, hey, do a show. And I do want my fans to still remember and see a great show. Don't you?
Right now, you do. Right now you do, but there will be a point in time where you're like, "Oh, okay, whatever."
Well, he has that power that he could always land that big punch.
Give me the check. Yeah, exactly. He's dangerous. He can knock you out for sure. Do I think he's working out? Like, me and Rampage used to train together too, and he's awesome. Do I think he's working out like he did, you know, 10 years ago?
No,
probably not. But he could still knock out anybody
for sure,
and he could still pick up a check.
The other thing, the other point I was thinking about with that fight was, I think Rampage. It's actually Chael made this point on his podcast. He was talking about when you're at 205 and you got to make a weight, and you just you it's easier to stay disciplined because you're all in line for that.
Yeah,
205, and when you're at heavyweight, it's like.
So he's like, I can make two. But he barely made 265.
You can do whatever. But I'm just saying, you know, like the discipline factor is.
I know. I just feel like if you're not going to give it 100%, I'm sort of. But I get it.
So, but you, in a nutshell, what you're saying is, if you're not going to give 100% at your job, you shouldn't come in, even though they're going to give you your check.
I understand. I understand what you're saying.
That's what we're talking about.
But how many times do we see like these Kevin Randleman's or these Gary Goodrich's?
If they would cut Kevin Randleman in the check.
Or Jens Pulver's, where you look at their record and all of a sudden it's like, wow, they lost 7 times in a row to close out their career. And that seems to be what we're seeing with some of these guys now.
Hey, I know it's all you want to protect your legacy and when you know share that with your kids. But guess what? You also share a nice house on the beach with your kids.
Don't these guys have money? I mean, Jake,
they do, but more, but there's still more money out there.
Yeah, but I don't get how much money you need. Like,
well, here's the thing:
more. To not get punched in the face for a living. Like, I can try to make it work with like. Okay, let's just say I have $50,000 in the bank or something. Right? I can make it work for a while until you know I got to drive an Uber or something.
Okay, let's call it $50 million.
Okay, this guy, that's what I'm saying.
You have $50 million in the bank right now.
To do shit.
You have $50 million in the bank.
Yeah.
You're a terrible comic now.
Yeah.
If they offer you another $50 million, you're gonna go pick it up.
No, I'm not gonna get punched in the face as a comic. Sure, I'm gonna get tomatoes thrown at me.
But being punched in the face for guys in the sport, that's nothing. Like, this is,
how is that
nothing?
Cares.
Nobody cares about that.
How is that nothing?
It's not like they're not like, oh, I'm getting punched.
They don't
in the face.
Like it.
They would rather get punched in the face than stand on stage and do what you do because that's will be scarier for guys that fight.
Fighters will tell me that. But
it's true.
I don't understand the logic of, okay, yeah, $50 million. You made the A-team. You're getting checks from Monster. You got all this fucking money. Like, unless he's out blowing his fucking money.
There are more checks to pick up. If we step out of here right now and you see a dollar bill on the floor in the elevator, are you going to pick it up?
It depends.
Yes. You're going to pick up the dollar. So why wouldn't they pick up a $1 million check? Like, you're going to pick it up. The thing, as long as it's there, you're going to pick it up.
I guess.
Always.
But he's still. I feel like even Rampage, I mean, the guy's talented. He was in that AT movie. It's like there was another door open. He could have went that route.
Well, he said acting's gay afterwards. And he goes, I never want to act. It's gay. Okay.
That's
what he said. I don't really understand that.
I see him saying that.
Most fighters aren't. It's like it becomes a job to where they're like. They're just gonna do it to make it. I don't know, because like if you asked me in like 5 years, my answer might be different. But I don't know. I see a lot of these guys where you're like, yeah, they shouldn't be fighting, but it's like, fuck, what else are they gonna do?
No, but like Phil Baroni is doing bare knuckle boxing in England next week.
Here's the truth. Why guys like that you see
is he
and they
paid?
They.
I'm sure he's getting paid.
For sure.
Yeah.
Where they seem to fall off is the fact that guys will stop training. Before they there stop fighting.
Right.
So he's still fighting. They're still fighting. They're just not training. And that's why it looks like they took this big leap. Like, well, they're not training, but they're coming to pick up that check.
But there are guys like Jens Pulver who was training. He was training. He just wasn't what
maybe,
he once had.
Maybe, yeah. But
I mean, there are
maybe
guys
he wasn't
out
training
there.
Like he was.
I mean, Mark Hunt. I mean, he finally won that the last fight against Rock against Luke Barnett. But there was a time where he was getting fucked up.
And he was getting $875,000 a fight. I believe that's his contract, $875,000.
What, in Filipino money?
Disclosed in
really?
U.S. dollars.
Oh, wow.
So.
Yeah, but now he's not fighting anymore.
He's fighting again.
Mark Munoz?
Oh, you're talking about Munoz.
Munoz. Munoz at one point said, you know what? It's enough is enough. He went on a win. Sure. He beat Luke Barnett. He said, okay, I don't want to get. I mean, he got murdered by Weidman. He was getting fucked up. He was getting hurt. And he said, I beat Barnett. I'm going off on a high.
You know what? My honest opinion, though, I think Mark stopped sooner than he should have stopped. And I think a lot of what people saw with Mark was not because of his skill level. Mm-hmm. Mark was training himself. So in Rain, in the pro class, Monday, Tuesday, and then Thursday, Friday, Mark is showing the technique. The guys are drilling it. Mark's overseeing the guys, teaching the technique, and then he's drilling it himself. Like,
yeah, he doesn't have anybody telling him what to do.
Yeah, exactly. You can't push yourself like that. You can't coach yourself effectively and push yourself to the level you need to. And he knows that. He knew that. Like, he knew that. But it was difficult because he had the gym. Like, he had to keep the gym, you know, going, and had to do everything for the gym, and he had to fight. Yeah. If he didn't have the gym, I think he would still be fighting right now, and I think he would be a contender right now.
I mean, he definitely had the skill. You know,
I think another reason why he decided to move on was his family, because he wanted to spend more time with his kids. You know, that was really, he came around, he's like,
exactly.
I've been training and I've been putting himself in front of his kids for so long. He's like, it's time to just focus on my kids, and it's respectable, you know.
Yeah. So we didn't actually talk about the actual fight, Roy Nelson versus Mitrione.
Oh yeah,
who do we think is gonna win?
I like this fight.
I like this fight. Pimp slap him.
Nelson won the first time, right? Didn't he knock him out?
I believe so.
In the end of the Ultimate Fighter finale, or that was
a while ago. But
Mitrione's a different dude, though. Now I think Mitrione's going
to
bring it to him.
Yeah, he's a quick heavyweight too. He's very athletic.
I think Nelson's a guy who trains himself, right? Wasn't he? Like, didn't he build a gym in his kitchen or something? Or like
looks like a guy that trains.
All right. So next week after that, next Saturday, Cerrone.
Who wins the fight?
Oh, I think Mitrione's going to win. Okay. Next week we got
who wins the tournament?
Tournament? I think King Mo's going to win tournament. I think King Mo's going to beat Bader. And then whoever he keeps winning, he's going to keep winning. I mean, I think who is it? It's Fedor versus Mir. Mir looks like more. I mean, Mir is huge right now, but I still think he's got enough to beat Fedor. Really?
Mir's going
to
beat Fedor?
I think Mir's going to beat Fedor.
I think Chael beats Mir.
Mir's a tough man. I think if Mir uses all of his ability, he is a difficult fight for people. I think he's been, you know, standing up and striking a lot, but his grappling is. There's not many people that have his level of grappling, especially in that division. So I think he could tap out. I love Fedor, but I think I could see. I mean, Mir could tap him out for sure.
I mean, Fedor almost got beat by like that 205 pounder. I mean, he hasn't looked good in a long time. He hasn't. I mean, he got knocked out by And then who else is in the tournament? There's two other guys, right?
And, yeah, Chael in there, and then who else?
Well, yeah, Chael advanced, and then there's the Fedor Amir fight on that side of the bracket. And then you got, yeah, Mo and Ryan Bader. And then...
We're missing two, right?
No. Or Big Country and...
Big Country, and yeah. And then are we missing somebody else? No, that's it? Yeah, I think...
It was just eight.
I think King Mo wins the tournament.
So Mo wins, and then the winner of the Mitrione and Big Country.
Yeah.
They'll fight. I know. I wouldn't be surprised to see...
I think it's going
to
be Mitrione... Mir.
King Mo.
King Mo and Chael in the final four.
Well, because on this side it'll be King Mo if he wins, and then it'll be Vince Mir. Or
I think that someone's going to get hurt in this. Someone's going to break an ankle walking to the cage.
That would be the worst. If they bring in some random alternate, that would be worse. That would be the worst.
Because Chael will fight the winner of Mir and Fedor, which...
I think does Mir beat Chael?
I don't think so.
You think Chael beats Mir?
I don't know. It depends. Like you said, though, if Mir uses all of his skills, like if he's focused, he's on point, he for sure could beat
Chael. But he's huge right now.
I know.
I mean, he's got
Chael is, his awareness is, he's got such a good awareness on top. I mean, it's ridiculous. And he fares well. He's been training with guys, huge big guys forever. So it's a good fight.
Chael's got great grappling, and he fights very smart.
So then next week we have Cowboy versus Yancey, which if you would have told me this 3 years ago, I'd be like, Yancey's going to get decapitated. But now I'm almost leaning towards Yancey.
Yancey's a beast, man. Cowboy's a beast, too. That's a good fight.
Yeah.
I would say Yancey's probably maybe a little bit hungrier, you know?
Way hungrier.
You know, so... And that's a big leap for him. He wins that. He's up.
You know,
He's did you ever fight Cowboy? You never fought Cowboy,
no,
right?
No.
That'd be a good fight.
The answer?
You versus Cowboy.
Sure, yeah. I mean, he's not fighting 70 no more, but...
Right. Who do you think wins this fight, Yancey or Cowboy?
I'm going to lean towards Cowboy, but... Yeah, Yancey was impressive his last fight.
I think Yancey gets it.
And then Trinaldo's taking on James Vick. That should be a good fight. James Vick is a guy, he's 10-1.
He's the tall guy, right?
Yeah, he gets no respect. He keeps calling everybody out. Nobody wants to fight him.
Did he fight Benny? Benil?
Yeah, Benny knocked him out.
Okay.
That's his only loss. Super nice guy.
Yeah.
And then UFC Fox after that is Stevens versus Josh Emmett. I got to go with Jeremy Stevens. He's looking like a killer. Did you train with Stevens back at Militage? Is he one of your guys?
I've trained with him before. Yeah, he's from Des Moines. When I was at Patchgym, I never trained with him. No, but I trained with him in Des Moines before. Yeah, but Emmett, I don't know a lot about this Emmett kid.
Emmett's undefeated. Oh no, he's lost one to Desmond Green. Mm-hmm. He just knocked out Lamas, like with that beautiful left hook. But he missed weight by 4 pounds going into that fight, which
that's bullshit.
That's some bullshit, right?
Our boy John Tuck.
4 pounds, dog. No.
I think he missed weight.
By that much? Yeah, bro, come on.
Dotson left.
That was a smart thing to do. It's a hard thing to do because it's like, okay, you're not getting paid and like you don't want to look like...
When his opponent missed weight, he didn't accept the fight, right?
He was like, what, 5 or 6 pounds over?
4 pounds.
Or 4 pounds over. It's like, bro, it's not even the pounds. Like, that's what people are like, oh, it's 4 pounds. Like, dude, it's not the pounds. He didn't have to go through the weight cut. He's at a significant advantage.
Sure,
a significant advantage. Like,
oh, yeah.
No, that's not cool. Like,
yep.
It's just not. So, I think more people need to turn downtown fights when guys are missing weight like that, and forget about the money, because all the people are going to remember is you lost. So
yeah, exactly.
There was another fight.
It's not fair.
Another fight that night where a guy missed weight and he ended up winning, but he looked huge too.
Desmond Green last week. Yeah.
Yeah, and he looked. I was like.
Because if I'm going into a fight, if I'm going into a close fight, and I know that winning this fight is going to elevate me, and if I don't cut weight and I come in over 4 or 5 pounds, they're going to take that fight. Like, yeah, take that little bullshit 20% doc and go.
And only 10 goes to the fighter. Yeah, 10 goes to the UFC too.
All of that, straight up. Like, okay, you miss weight, 50% off the top.
I think she was to bang his girlfriend too. Honestly, like a blow. If you got a blowjob from the other guy's girlfriend, tell me that wouldn't feel better.
That would motivate people to do things a little differently.
Yeah, seriously.
Yeah, no. I think 50% of your purse off the top goes to the guy.
Like, if you're anything over, like, 1 to 2 pounds, like...
Now, Jake, your wife is super hot. Obviously, she's got huge boobs now. Now, how many... Do fighters make passes at her, or...?
Well, she's not around many fighters, so...
Anybody on Instagram ever, like, try to DM her?
Who slid into the DMs?
Once in a while.
Who was it?
Yeah, not fighters, who no, was just...
Guys, and then what do you do?
Who was it?
Do you say, hey, this is Jake's account? I'm actually running it for.
It's funny. No, God, no, I'm not.
All right,
I'm not insecure like that. It's cool.
I've had a couple guys slide into the DM and then I hit them with that. That douchebag Dylan Dennis tried to slide into the DM.
Really?
That's right.
I took a selfie. It was like they were trying to set up a fight between me and him. He ducked. I took a selfie. It was like, what's up, bitch? Why you ducking?
Really?
He tried to delete it real quick. Like, sorry, bro. Got the screenshots.
Oh wait, hold up. This is breaking news. Okay, so Dylan Dennis, you want to fight in MMA or just jiu-jitsu?
Yeah, we're supposed to fight. They're trying to put together a fight. He's not going to fight. Like, I'm over even talking about that dude. But he's not going to fight. Bellator signed him. He ain't going to fight. Everybody calling him out. Like, real fighters calling him out. He ain't going to fight. I don't see it happen.
But you called him out?
No, some promoter hit me up. They hit me up about fighting, and they had already, I guess, had him signed or whatever. They had agreed to fight, but he didn't know who the opponent was. And then they hit me up about the fight. Like, will you fight him? Because they wanted to go with the whole, like, Diaz camp versus McGregor camp type thing. I was like, yeah, 100%. Like, fuck, I'll fight him tomorrow. And then he's like, all right, well, we're going to talk to them today, and we'll get back to you. I was like, yep, yeah. I was like, yeah, that's not going to happen. He's not going to do it.
How do you think we do against a straight grappling?
Who, Dylan
Dennis? Yeah.
They'll crush him, annihilate, destroy. I'm not. I mean, he's a good solid grappler, but it's just there's different types of grappling, especially when you're talking about MMA. It's different, you know. Mm-hmm. So he's not a real threat. Like, his attacks, I'm not concerned with his attack. So if you're not a serious attacker, like, I don't have no respect for you.
Right.
One of the things too that I've always really, like, admired about their style is they're always, like, even when I train with Jason, it's like, it's always attack. Like,
oh, I love
not,
that.
It's not like the fucking traditional, like, just I'm gonna pass, like, I'm gonna get a position, because that's the bad thing about wrestling is it makes you fight so much for position and not actually ending the fight. Yeah. So it's like, once you get out of that, you know, when you guys were talking earlier about just a lot of the how a lot of wrestlers, maybe, you know, I don't know. I know Bubba's a stud. He was a stud wrestler, but a lot of wrestlers have trouble transitioning to MMA because they're constantly fighting for a position.
They want to pin the guy versus,
yeah,
like,
and,
the,
and
yeah,
even, you know, because shit, we get, you know, you get caught sometimes. I've certainly been caught in training, and just when I'm just trying to fight for a position over than, like, you know, than trying to, like, get your arm, or, you know, I get tapped with something I wasn't thinking about, because I'm, you know, when you're thinking about position, you're not thinking about my neck and my arm, my wrist, but
right,
that's one of the things that they focus a lot. It's just attacking.
So also on this card, UFC Orlando, Tisha Torres. I knew her back when she was straight. I love Tisha and Raquel. She's fighting Jessica Andrade. That's a hard fight for her.
Is that why she's not straight?
Because of me, probably. She saw my comedy act and was like, no more men.
She went on a date.
So Jessica Andrade, who's a fucking monster. She's just been burning, and then
that's
Max
a good fight with Tisha.
Yeah,
that's a good fight. I like that. I mean, Tisha's no joke, dude. She's
yeah,
a killer.
And then Max Griffin is fighting Mike Perry. Max Griffin, yeah, is Max Griffin good?
I don't know.
Max Griffin, he's Bay Area guy. He's a good solid fighter for sure. He's a solid fighter.
You think he'll beat Perry?
Jiu-jitsu guy?
I don't think so. No, he's more of a striker for sure, but I don't think he's gonna beat Perry.
Yeah, well, that's Perry's the thing. That's the thing, too. Is like, you know, they're looking to build compelling fights, so you want to, you know, give Mike Perry a striker. That's they're gonna make it'll be fireworks. So it's like, I get it, you know.
And then Sarah McMahon versus Marion Renau. I like that fight. The Belizean Bruiser. She's fucking against McMahon. Both hot. Both MILFs.
Yeah, okay.
I like this. This is the hot single moms. Yeah. And then a fight that I don't want to see, but it's inevitable. I'm actually curious to get your opinion. Alan Juban versus Ben Saunders.
I'm going to go with Juban.
Interesting.
Sure. Yeah, yeah. He's a beast. Yeah, I like his style. I like the way he fights. I think he brings it against Ben Saunders for sure. Yeah, I don't think.
I would agree. I'm going to go with Juban.
They're both Eddie Bravo guys.
Okay. Yeah. So Saunders, Saunders has got to take him down and try to ground him out. I don't think that's going to happen. Juban's aggressive, like, in his clinch. And yeah, he's not going to be easy to take down. I think he'll touch him up for sure. Do they train out of the same 10th planet, or they're out of different ones?
Different ones.
Yeah. Well, I different think he's one. In what Saunders in like Florida or somewhere on the East Coast, maybe. I don't know. But yeah, I'm going to go with Jubon too. I think he's a little more
well rounded,
a little more crisp. Yeah, a little more. But you know, Saunders has positions where he's tricky. But I think overall, Jubon's probably the better guy.
As a rule of principle, I always bet against a man that has on two knee braces.
Well, that one guy from you'd lose a lot of money. That one guy from Australia. Who like beat Rashad Evans?
Oh yeah, yeah.
That fucker is like 60 years old, and he fucking wins somehow every time until somebody knocked him out. I think Derek.
He works at Red Robin.
Brunson, dude. Oh my god.
It's funny because I know a lot of people who bet on Rashad, and they were like, "What the fuck?" Like, I'm like, dude.
I guess Rashad Bisping was supposed to fight, but then Bisping they couldn't make it happen, and then Bisping tweeted out, "Don't buy tickets." They couldn't come to a deal to the UFC England, which is not. I'm sure Dana and them were thrilled. That. Yeah, I'm sure they were thrilled about the...
Well, they're probably lingering it over like, yeah, Bisping, we don't have a deal yet, but we're going to announce soon. And the guy's like, oh, get those tickets.
Yeah.
Like, nah, bro.
Yeah.
Paid.
Don't buy those tickets.
I'll tell you what, though. Bisping got paid. He's made some money the last couple of with the KG fight.
Do you think he should still fight or no?
Mike?
Yeah.
Well, I think it's up to you. It's up to each person. I mean, I can't tell somebody.
Always fight forever.
What about CTE or whatever it's called? And
yeah, I mean, I don't know. I don't think they've done extensive studies in MMA yet. But here's the thing:
it's coming.
Don't take damage. Like, yeah. Bisping has taken some significant damage. You know, but like, we're talking about like Rampage. Like Rampage is not taking serious damage. Like people are trying to avoid getting hit.
You don't
by
think
him.
When he was like his hunched over the ring by Wanderlei Silva that he wasn't taking damage?
Oh, well, that was
10 years ago, bro.
And they cheated him too. They cheated him in that fight. He took Wanderlei down. They made him stand up on some bullshit.
Yeah, but you don't think a guy who like gets into a car accident and then tries to flee the scene with a Jeep that says Rampage, like there isn't some sort of damage?
Something wrong. Something
yeah.
But he got away.
He did beat the case. But still, like, I mean,
they call him Rampage for a reason. I
don't know. I just think that, I used to walk in the wild card gym and you see guys that were like, drooling and stuff. They were like, that guy was the champ in 84.
Like boxing, yeah. Those dudes are taking crazy damage. In MMA, there's so much grappling and there's not a lot. Like, at least to me, if you're training intelligently, you're not taking crazy fucking hits to the head every single day, right? You're training
him in Miletich's gym. Yeah. They told us it was Fight Club day.
Back then, but
you have to be careful.
Yeah,
I agree.
As a general principle, I don't believe in retirement. I'm going to work forever doing stuff that I enjoy doing, and I'm never big on people saying like, oh, it's like, like Tom Brady lost the Super Bowl. He should retire. He's 40. Like, first of all, bro, he's in the Super Bowl he's putting up 500 plus yards, he's scoring 33 points, whatever. Like,
yeah,
I think he should probably still keep playing. Oh, by the way, he's making, 40, 50 million a year. So he probably should just keep doing that.
It's funny that the people that are making like $30,000 a year telling the guy who makes $65 million a year to retire.
Retire when you want to retire. But even then, it's like, you're not going to retire. Like, there's a study. I don't know if it was like, I forgot what it was. There's a study, though. Several studies, well documented, that people, when they retire, people die within, I forgot, it was like X amount of years.
My stepmom retired 2 years later.
Because they don't have anything, you don't have anything to look forward to. It's like, not to say you should fight forever, but you have to do something that you enjoy doing and be constructive.
Something progressive to look forward to. Yeah.
I'm not going to stop making money and doing what I enjoy doing because people think that I'm not as good as I used to be. Like,
it's
never going to be the reason.
One of the things, just to add to that really quick, one thing I hung out with Ben Askren at the last Bellator, and he's a funny guy, and I was listening to him on Rogan too, and it was a really good show. He was talking about he doesn't spar. He's like, I don't spar. He's a grappler, but he trains smart. But listen, what he's doing is work. Like, it works for him. He's like, don't take any damage. Like, literally, he's funny. Funny enough, he's retired, which I was like, I don't think he should, but.
He should be fighting the best guys in the UFC.
I know, and I've been an Askren fan for a long time, but that was his simple philosophy. He's like, I don't get hit, I'm taking damage. I don't get hit, and you're not going to outwork me. You're not going to out wrestle me. Like, yeah, this guy's got a point.
I'm a huge Askren fan. So, what do you have coming up? people can see you?
I'm not scheduled yet. Sean told me April, so.
But you have a podcast, right? People can listen to it?
Oh, yeah, I do. Action Junkies is the podcast, so I appreciate it.
And it's you and John Orlando.
Yes, me and Mr. Orlando.
Who's Tony Orlando's son.
Right.
But don't mention that.
don't mention.
Okay, so you and John have a podcast, and what do you guys do? You guys go jet skiing together? What do you make out? Like, what happens on this podcast?
Wow.
What do you do? What kind of action junkies? What do you do?
I hear some
a little shade there.
Yeah. No. Because he used to be my co-host, and all of a sudden he left me for John Orlando.
The nerve! Yeah, and then he comes back to the show.
So what happened?
What a prick.
So wait. So what happened? No. So what happens on the show? What do you guys talk about?
It's not categorically one thing. We talk MMA. We talk fighting. Talk a lot of things, but yeah,
I like John a lot. He's a really good guy. I listen to podcasts. It's actually a really good podcast. Oh, okay.
What does John have that Adam doesn't have? Why would you leave? Why would you?
No,
leave
I love
this
Adam.
Man.
I've known Adam for. Come on,
this man.
Yeah, it's all come good. It's all good.
I told Adam, I'll do your show.
No, he was this guy. This guy's a very smart guy. He was hang with. That was his thing. It's very
successful. He's kind of smart. Not really smart.
So you check it out. It's a very successful app. Okay, so now. What now? Where can people, Jason Manley? Where can people find you? Where can people support you?
Follow me on Tinder at Jason Manley.
At Tinder, swipe right.
You can find me. Choking people
soul
out
swipe
throughout Orange County. Up here, Gracie Fighter here in Costa Mesa.
How often are you up at their gym? And
I go up to Body Shop a couple times a week. I'm there every Wednesday for sure at 10:30. And then I go in there. Other times throughout the week doing privates with guys and that sort of stuff.
Nice.
Getting the posse ready. So
nice. So if I want to train with you, I'm a listener and I live near Costa Mesa. How do I do that?
Well, you probably reach out to me. The easiest way would be to slide into my DMs.
Right.
On Instagram or Facebook. Jason Manley, M-A-N-L-Y, at Jason Manley. It's not an open gym, so definitely guys that are really serious and hungry want to train for sure. We'll bring you in, and we get good working, and we have a lot of fun.
Adam, how long do you think you'd last in a
right, Jake? Chill on the rooftop in the spa.
Yeah,
how about last? Oh, I would tap the whole gym. All right, so I'm at the Laugh Factory this Saturday night, 9:15. Hollywood Laugh Factory. Next Wednesday to Friday, I'm at the Houston Joke Joint. The Joke Joint in Houston. April 2nd, I am at I'm in Vegas doing comedy in Vegas at the Dirty at 30, which is at 12:30 at night at the Dirty. I forgot the name of the casino.
Is that at the South Point?
Yes, South Point. Okay. Yes, thank you. South Point Casino. And then I will be at the Comedy Palace in San Diego April 13th and 14th. And then Portland, Oregon, Harvey's Comedy Club. April 26th to the 29th, Harvey's Comedy
in Portland.
Club. Yeah,
nice. You should tell Chael he'll come out.
Put me on the list.
Yeah, I'll put you on the list. May 3rd to the 5th, to the 6th. I'm in Naples, Florida, at the Off the Hook Comedy Club. So, listen, people. Thank you guys so much. Thank you, Jake. Thank you, Jason. It was an honor to have you guys on the podcast.
Pleasure.
Talk to you guys soon, and have a good week.
Traps, sons, and traps, sons, and traps, don't sons, traps. Түүний сонс тө хөгжим дөрвөлаа. Даа дэ стоотан дөрвөлаа мөрөлаа.